Bakla!
Hi everyone, welcome to Buckle Up Podcast. I'm Natalia Earl and I'm a certified business and life coach that loves talking to people. I'm fascinated by humans and how our brain works. What is it that makes a decision good or bad, and how does that decision ultimately shape our path and destiny? Everyone loves to talk about success, but what about the flip side? How about adversity? Failure is such a big and often necessary part of life, and it's simply unavoidable. So I invite you to join me on this inspiring, honest, unpolished interview show with breathtakingly real conversations that go deep on setbacks and hardships that are part of the puzzle that ultimately lead to growth, discovery of inner greatness, and what makes us resilient.
Buckle up!
Grab your helmet and buckle up, people. It's going to be a bumpy ride, but what a ride it will be. Today's episode is brought to you by 360 Tactical Miami. At 360 Tactical, they strive to provide the best firearms training, personal protection strategies, and services. The team is driven by experience, knowledge, and dedication. They train closely with clients to ensure the best empowered effect while building confidence and the highest level of skill sets. When danger is near and the police is minutes away, you are the first line of defense and you're your own first responder. Seconds count. Your victory is their victory. Train hard, train smart, and always be ready. Use promo code BUCKLEUP20 for your 20% off at www.360tacticalmiami.com. Today I sat down with Brian Faith, CEO, and Lauren Grasso, the COO of Papamigos, Taqueria, and Raw Bar. Papamigos originated between late 2019 and early 2020, introducing an innovative culinary concept that blended tacos, sushi, and imaginative gastronomy. Emerging from rich backgrounds in upscale dining, Brian and Lauren aimed to suppress conventional norms, catering to a diverse demographic with an elevated dining experience. Brian, a 42-year-old Marine Corps veteran, is now shaping the future with his fiancée Lauren and their combined four children. His military service from 2000 to 2004 included a role as a machine gunner in 1st Battalion, 1st Marines, with deployments in Afghanistan and Iraq. Beyond his military journey, Brian's venture spanned the realms of restaurant and real estate, driven by an enduring entrepreneur spirit. Hello, Brian and Lauren. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. How did you arrive at the place where you are today?
My name's Lauren Grasso. I'm born and raised in South Florida. Floridian, not many of us. My parents owned an Italian meat market in Delhi and Coral Springs. Worked with my dad when I was 7 years old, grinding chopped meat, running sausage, boning chicken, working for $1 an hour. So I learned all of my work ethics and just my whole business entrepreneurship from him. Worked with him till I started getting like grounded at work and my car taken away when I was 16 years old. I'm like, oh, this isn't going to fly anymore. So I branched off and went to J. Alexander's and I got hired with them. I worked with the company for about 7 years. I was a corporate trainer and their operations manager. So I was with them for a while, then got married and had kids and enjoying the stay-at-home mom life. And then all of a sudden, rug ripped from underneath me, divorce came and lost my house and my family, just had to go back to work. So I went back to Kalu's restaurant, managed there for about 7 years. And that's how I met Brian. And that's where our whole journey began.
Yeah, my name is Brian Faith. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. Kind of similar story to Lauren. Got divorced, moved down here in 2008. But I've been in the restaurant business pretty much my whole life. My family had a camping supply company. I got my entrepreneur spirit from my family. It's been in the family business for 40 years. Worked with my dad when I was young. Obviously, when I became a teenager, didn't work out so well between me and him. I actually went to the Marine Corps instead of going to college. I graduated early from high school, pre-2000, before September 11th. Did that whole thing. It was overseas during 9/11. I was a machine gunner in a 1-1 cap platoon. So we were actually the first couple of Marine units to go into Afghanistan. The Special Forces were there for us. But I really had to grow up real quick since graduating early from high school to go in. I was kind of young. But the Marines taught me a sense of leadership and work ethic, and where Lauren got it from her dad, working with her dad in the meat market, where I kind of got it beat in me with the Marines. Thought it was the best thing I've ever done. Made me who I am, what I am today. Never regret anything. Back in 2004, I was in Afghanistan and Iraq. But after I got back, I had a rough transition, I'm not going to lie. So that's where my divorce came in, like many of us. We were real high strung, and I just wasn't ready to be settled down into a family life type thing. So then ended kind of badly, but I still had my drive and my work ethic and my entrepreneurial spirit. Fast forwarding to meeting Lauren at Kalooz, I've been in the restaurant business since I was in high school, in Marine Corps, every position that you can, except for own. I talked to Lauren and got together. We're friends first, and then we came more of a relationship. And we kind of looked at each other and said, we're committed to each other. We want to start a life together, but we don't want to work for anybody. We both know we can do this. Rather than punch a clock for 14 hours for somebody else, I'd rather work 20 hours for myself and make this something that we can pass on to our family. So we made the commitment pre-COVID. Lauren and I, for 2 years, did a business plan. We invited neighbors over, tested food for 2 years. I swear our neighbors thought we were Mexican for a good year and a half for all the tacos and the different things we were cooking for them. We were kind of tight-lipped on what we were doing. We did a little bit of meal prep in the beginning. So just trying to get a feel of where we were going to land in the market and what kind of menu we want. For like 2019, we kind of solidified our idea of how we wanted to come to market, what kind of restaurant we wanted. And Lauren was real instrumental on deciding what area of the culinary part of it. She's real thumb on the pulse of what's hot, what's trendy. And we pull a lot of our inspiration from West Coast. Notate as we get on and into our food and our menu, it comes a lot from my experience in the Marine Corps, being in California, Tijuana, Rosarita, those fun places. A lot of my buddies were from L.A. I got to see the heart and the soul, so to speak, of the street food. Lauren and I kind of just fell in love with it. There's so much passion involved in it because it's all family recipes. She can kind of reminisce from that with her family, you know, and it just resonates with us. We're a tight-knit family, and the passion that goes into it. And it's just the full flavor of street food. It's just fun. And that's kind of what our brand and what we wanted to have. You know, we both come from fine dining backgrounds. So me and my, I come from Morton's. Everything's been more of the higher end. We wanted to come bring that high-end service, but we wanted to have fun with food. We both love food. We enjoy eating. That's like what we do. It's our favorite pastime, is going out to eat and experiencing different things. So we wanted to give people, when they come to our restaurant, an opportunity to get as much flavor and fun with food as they can. That's kind of the inspiration of our fusion brand and then where it came from.
Yeah. And I love that. And to me, the street food is the best. Every time I travel, the first thing I want to try is the street food. Like, a lot of people are afraid of it. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm such a foodie. I want to try everything. I'll try anything once, right?
I had that mentality when I was in Tijuana. I'm not going to lie, because it doesn't look so appealing when you're on it. And from, you know, I always say, I'm a white boy from the Midwest. You know, that was a little scary for the first time, you know, going down there. But you know, once you do it and you experience that for the first time, it's just, it's an experience that you can't find in a restaurant. You can't find that anywhere else. It's an experience then, and you want to repeat it. When we were texting.
I think that's what we were doing at our restaurant. Like he said, it's an experience. We both have a love for food. We are big foodies. I'm telling you, when we go out to eat, people are like, ordering food? Are you having a party? I'm like, no, it's just Brian and I. We love food.
I'm the same way.
I like to try everything.
Us too. We're the same way. And we get a lot of inspiration. We love food. We love people. We love to entertain. We love to invite people into our house. And our restaurant is like our house. We want you to come in and have a great experience, have fun with our brand, our food, and be able to experience that street food and that gastro style fun food that not everybody has. So that's all of our ingredients are fresh from our sour mix, and all of our dishes are made fresh every single day. Mango salsa, guacamole, fresh produce, everything is made homemade.
That's amazing. And to me, I told you guys a little bit before we jumped on the call that I was in the restaurant industry myself for 12 years. It's very dear to my heart. And when I was in a leadership position, that's how I led it too. It's just like, you're my personal guest. Yep. I would invite each guest and treat them like they were coming to my house. And people feel that.
Yeah, 100%. It's huge, especially in this industry. And we get that. A lot of people, they don't see Brian and I in the restaurant. It's like, where's Brian? Where's Lauren? We bring the people to the restaurant. And it is, it really is huge. You're the first and last impression of every guest that walks through that door. And when you make them feel at home, they will return 100%.
So I know you guys started Papa Migos in 2019, right? Yeah. Right before the whole world.
Timing was perfect.
You timed it so well, right before the whole world came to an end. Almost.
Listen, I'm a Marine. I don't like anything easy. So
yes, I love it. Only way to go. Right? So guide us through that whole process. What the first 2 years of starting your own business looked like? What were some of the biggest adversities that you had to face, and how did you overcome it?
Where do we start? We almost got divorced before we got married.
No, I mean, yes and no.
I'm just kidding.
Honestly, you know, where everybody else was struggling, I looked to us, and yes, we had some tough decisions in March, right when the COVID pandemic was like panning out. That was our toughest go about, because we had to make a big decision whether we continue on, because we had a lease signed, we were in an SBA loan, and we were committed to a property to build out our first restaurant. And, you know, architectural drawings were done, team was hired. I mean, we had everything ready to go. And then, you know, PPP and the COVID pandemic all came out, and the bank shut down. They stopped loaning on any new projects. And we were like, okay, we had some cash, but we don't have millions of dollars in our bank. We're just starting out. So we had to make a decision based on, okay, what do we do? And working with Pompano, that was our first location in the city of Pompano, in the downtown old historic district of Pompano. They were very innovative in their thinking and helping us map our way out. And they were a huge part of our decision-making and what we could do. Lauren was actually early on in the big decision-maker on this, and she got advisement from her family. And because I actually went back into the restaurant business to kind of get ready to open up a restaurant. I actually went back in for about a year prior to us doing all this, just to make sure I was current, make sure one, I could handle the long hours again, because I was coming from a job that wasn't as demanding as the restaurant business. In the beginning, we lost the financing. So we were like, what do we do? The food trailer idea came up, and working with the city of Pompano Beach, they said, well, this could be great. We could still bring people to the area. From our side, we bring our brand out slowly, get ourselves marketed. So we made a partnership between the CRA and the city of Pompano to redevelop this area, and us being an early part of that, a really up and coming area right now. So we bought the food truck and we launched it in July, the food trailer. We worked again with the city, and they allowed us to be permanently located on the ground that we leased, which is unheard of. If you know anything about the food truck business, it's hard. And the biggest problem is you have to be mobile, and the places they put you are never like the places where people want to be. You know, being able to be right at the corner of Dixie and Atlantic in a prime intersection, and their support solidified us. And we were able to start and launch our food. And where everybody else was struggling in the restaurant business, us being outside and having a food truck and tables outside and music, like, it was an amazing way to kind of launch our brand. And it kind of really showcased what we could do as far as with the music and outside and just being fun and street food. Like, it was exactly what we wanted to show people from one side, because we weren't able to do the sushi and the raw bar side as much, because the trailer is like 150 degrees in the summer and it's not ideal for fish and that kind of things. We thrived in that business. Come late 2021, we were booming. I mean, we were booming so much. Come April of 2021, we had to go find a location, a permanent location, just to get a commissary kitchen for our food trailer, you know, which ended up turning our location number one. And that's where we have our restaurant right now. We actually thrived during the COVID pandemic, and we were blessed, and it showed us that people were very ready for our food and ready for us as business owners. And it solidified our growth plan to what we wanted to do, and allowed us to really focus on where we wanted to go, take this thing, and, you know, where, you know, what we wanted to do.
That's the stories I hear with the restaurant industry during COVID. It's either made them or broke them. People that were able to pivot and adjust and do things a little bit differently, I think they thrived. And then everybody else that wasn't willing or didn't know what to do, I think it hurt them a lot. So I know you guys do tacos and a lot of Mexican style food, but how did the sushi come into the picture?
Right. Like I said, looking at it from a what's popular point of view, you know, Lauren and I are huge raw bar fans. I always ask myself, where can I find raw anything, oysters, clams, or just sushi? There's not a lot of places that you could get
tacos and the raw bar end of it. Like I told you, for 2 years, we did a lot of market research. It wasn't just like, oh, let's just make this brand. No, there was a lot of market research. We went to the heart of every Mexican city and looked at what they did the best, look at their ingredients, translating a lot of the recipes into English, and just not like taking the exact measurements, but just taking what's in all the recipes and trying to use as much authenticity from their areas as possible, especially with our number one selling thing. We pulled that right from the flavor profile. And then it was just making trial and error and making the right amounts. The sushi end came just from, like I said, the gastro, just fun. And we wanted to give somebody a fresh, heavy burritos, heavy tacos. It's almost how me and Lauren go out to eat. Like, I'm all about, you know, let's have a big-ass steak burrito. That, right? And then she's like, oh, let me get the salad or some fish. Well, where can you find something that's cool and fun and you can satisfy both palates? And that's kind of the idea. And that's where we came. And who doesn't like tacos? If you look at the statistics on what's the most popular cuisines that are out there, you know, tacos and sushi are going to be the biggest demographic pull from a business standpoint. And it kind of made sense in that way. 10 years ago, you would never heard of these kind of fusion. But like in 2020, like everything's blended cultures, blended everything. We're not political by any means, but the political environment is crazy right now. Everybody's like, I hate this, I hate that. We took it from like, you know what, we can put sushi and tacos together. We can bring people together with food as well. And we thought that's the type of like environment, fun. And we just try to bring as much cool fusion. And if you listen to our music, even it goes to the point of you'll be listening to reggae, then you'll be listening to classic rock, and you'll be listening to reggaeton. We try to hit anybody and everything that just to mix it up and just bring everybody together with our food. And that's where the inspiration came from, the sushi tacos. It was just bringing fun.
One of our main items is the sushi taco. We were actually featured on Deco Drive for those. So you get the best of both worlds. You get a taco and you get sushi combined in one. And we kind of hit the ground running with that and our burrito tacos in the food truck. It was great because it gave us the opportunity to kind of get our brand out there, do our testing on our food, see what people liked, what people didn't like. So like, it was a great opportunity for us. And that burrito taco, we hit that like on the Instagram, like that dipping taco. And that's what really put us on the map. And we took that one step further and took it to a whole nother level, just doing birria tacos, birria burritos, birria quesadillas, birria mac and cheese, birria taquitos, birria grilled cheese, and chili killies. We're like the home of the birria. So we do birria everything, which is one of our most popular items and what put us on the map. The sushi tacos have to be the next one. They were hard to perfect to get that crunch of the nori-shi, and you're like eating a taco and it's crunchy, but you get all the taste of like a sushi roll all in one. So it was a nice blend, a nice fusion that kind of brought it all together.
Yeah, it's like I've died and gone to heaven. Heaven looks like for me. Right?
And you still get some old school people that will be like, I don't understand who goes to eat Mexican food and then eats like sushi. Like,
how do you compare the two?
So they give us a hard time, but it's a fusion brand, you know? It's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you know.
And it's it invites people to come together. And let's say if someone doesn't like tacos, then you have other options, which is so incredible.
100%.
Yeah. And we're very careful to not to cross the line of being too Mexican. I'm not serving enchiladas. I'm not serving fajitas. I'm not serving the rice and beans and free chips and salsa at the table. Like, that's not where we're going. Our inspiration is the street fun, street food aspect of it. And we chose to do tacos because from a cultural and a flavor standpoint, I appreciate where it comes from. And that's why we chose it. And I love tacos.
Yeah, you know, who doesn't love tacos?
Who doesn't love tacos?
You can't be friends with them if they don't. Can't be trusted. So I was in the restaurant industry 20 years ago where work culture was different. The restaurant culture was different. It was very hardcore. I remember as a GM, I was doing like 90 hours a week and overworked and underpaid, so to say. But how does that look like today?
One of the biggest struggles besides like food costs during COVID is the labor industry and just finding really good people to make part of your family and just the longevity. People just don't stay, and just keeping people is hard. And you put all that time and resources into training them and people just don't show up. Even all these millennials that come in and younger kids, they just don't have that work ethic that we're accustomed to, that we worked in corporate restaurants 20 years ago or as a child growing up. And it's just different. It's totally different.
It is. And as we're talking about it and you don't change, you know, you're gonna fail. Lauren and I are constantly evaluating the market. We're seeing what's coming through the door. And we're looking to the future and seeing what's out there to compensate for what is. Because there's almost like, you have to have acceptance. This is the generation. This is what we're working with. These are the tools that we have that are available for us right now. We can do as much as we can to train them, but we have to look towards technology and innovative ways to compensate what we're failing at in the restaurants. And as we grow, that's what we're focusing on as Papa Migo. And remembering that we have to keep that personal touch, so we can't eliminate personnel completely, but we are going to get more automated, where we're going to have online ordering, more tablet ordering. We're going to kind of grow in that respect. Papa Migo's as a brand is going to get more digital. It will be more hands-on, in your face, quick speed. We're trying to match the speed as people want. But if you want a slow, old school service, we're still going to be able to offer that. I mean, the personal touch will still be there. You never can get rid of a bartender. I think that's like one of the last pieces of personnel that are going to go. But everything else may go automated. And that's okay, because I feel like that is the new generation. If we don't adapt to it, we're going to stay old school and unfortunately be priced out, because you're never going to find the people that are going to be like you said, 20 years ago. You're not going to find that dedication, and that they're in there for the 6 hours you got them and that's it. They're not going to give you your heart and soul like back in the day.
And I love that you brought that up, because that was going to be my next question. And I bartended myself for a few years, and I saw like most amazing business deals made at the bar, most amazing networkings that were happening. I developed so much of my network at the bar, and that has pushed my career growth along as well. But now that the technology is growing, and obviously we have the whole Uber Eats, different types of delivery services, and many restaurants tell me that people don't go out as much, especially after COVID. They want that instant gratification of not leaving their house, eating their favorite foods in their pajamas, socializing with their friends from homes, and with the metaverse and everything that's happening, that are we ever going to eat in the restaurants again, or are we going to meet in the virtual worlds, right? So many things that are happening. And do you notice that you guys get a lot more orders or business through digital world rather than in person?
100%. I mean, definitely a lot more during COVID with the Uber Eats and Grubhub and those third party ordering. But people still love to go out to eat. People still love to have a great time. And it hasn't taken over, but you have to adjust for it. We're to blame sometimes it too. We get home, we're tired, we don't want to go out to eat. And what do? We order Uber. It's easy, it's convenient. It's where the world is going, you know, and yet you have to change with it, change with the times.
I really think the balance is always going to be there as we come out of the COVID world. People are coming back to the restaurants, but I still don't think the off-premise business, the Ubers, the delivery dudes, I don't think that they're going to die down at all either. I just think it's going to be a kind of a happy medium where you're still going to get that demand for off-premise. I think you're still going to have to make sure that you're ready for that, the packaging, the to-go stuff, make sure you're competing with everybody else. But you still need to worry about creating the environment to have people come into your restaurant, enjoy it, because people are still working, you know, whatever they're working a week, they're still going to want to go to have that drink outside and socialize in the environment with their friends, parties. Our restaurant alone, we're known for large parties, the two tops, the one tops, the three tops. They come in, but it's mostly six, seven, eights, because all of our food is shareable. So people come to that. We're family friendly. We encourage kids at our restaurant. Like a lot of restaurants are like, oh, kids. No, we want family, because that's what our food's about. It's about shareables. Mm-hmm. It's about putting the phones down for a little bit and really just sharing food and talking and bringing back to that. So I still think that the inside of the restaurants, the dining experience is very, very important. It will get automated and you have to get it. But how you do it and keeping that personal feel, the person that gets it right is going to be the winner. And we're all like trying to feel that happy medium out and how much technology you need to influence it.
That's wonderful. And I know you guys are working on a new location, I believe in Delray Beach. Yeah. So how do you guys balance work life and each other and having a relationship and a family?
Is that a balance? Talk about that after work drink. Brian and I have four kids together. So we're a blended family. I have two, 14 and 15, and Brian has two, 15 and 16. So it's tough just balancing, dropping off at all different schools and picking up and soccer and baseball and who's got sports and tutoring. And then just the restaurant life is very demanding. Every day it's something else, but we have a great team in place and Brian and I work very well together. Where one fails, the other one picks up and we kind of map it all out and we have great communication skills.
I stay in my lane.
We definitely communicate with each other, but we definitely help each other out. And it's hard. It's not easy. It's a struggle every day. Co-parenting is very hard. And then opening restaurants is very difficult and it's a big risk on top of it all. So it's just... It's all a little crazy.
Well, yeah. We talked about labor. We've been we've been able, thankfully, to have some people that are still with us from the time we started that are with us now. We have some great leaders in our restaurant that are helping us solidify the Coconut Creek location. It's allowing us to be able to grow our business. Lauren and I are focused now on making sure that Coconut Creek is still the best location for people in Coconut Creek. I'm sitting in Delray right now, about to have a big hiring day to get Delray open. That's what's going on. So I'm handling that end, and can be 100% all restaurant. And before we open Delray, you know, it's nice because we're not, the billion hours of a day is not going to be there yet. It's coming, but we're able to have those conversations now. So, but it's sacrifice. Sure. I'm not going to ever tell you this is easy. We have a goal. We have a growth goal we're trying to achieve. So we're sacrificing. And a lot of that sacrifice is time away from family and kids and each other. We believe it's worth it and in the long run. And we've made commitments and we have to be flexible with each other and understand that that's our goal and where we're going with it.
Yeah. And it's a very physically and mentally demanding industry. And it's also emotional, right? Because you're dealing with people. And majority of the time, you're dealing with hungry people. and they're really angry when something does not work out. So restaurant industry has taught me so much. I think it has really given me so much people skills and business skills. And it really teaches you multitasking. And I always say everybody should work in the industry for at least a little bit in their lifetime because it teaches them so much.
I agree.
Yeah, wonderful. So what is the best business advice that you guys have ever gotten?
There's a couple things I think that are very important. And one is just being resilient. I learned this in the Marine Corps. We had a saying, just adapt and overcome. Like no matter what you do, doesn't matter, you know, where you're at and what job profession, there's always going to be hurdles. Nothing's going to go perfect. And it's how you build your bridge or wall or however you want to look at it to overcome that hurdle is how you're going to be either successful or you're going to fail. You're going to stay. And being able to move and shape and figure it out on the fly is huge. I hate saying this. The worst experience had for me was being in a war or in combat. That situation is the worst. So I compare everything to that. And if it's not that bad, then listen, I got through it. I can handle it. I know that there's a way. You just got to figure it out and not to get so overwhelmed over a simple problem where in 3 hours or the next day, you're not even going to remember that problem. Just take everything with a grain of salt and there's always a way, you know? And ask for help. Listen, there's a lot of knowledgeable people that have done this before. Be a sponge and watch and learn and figure it out.
Yeah, I always talk about the importance of the mentors and how important it is to model someone, right? If you see someone that has a successful business, go ask them to be their apprentice and ask questions and learn as much as you can. And again, it comes down to that new generation, that instant gratification, and no one wants to put the work just to work their way up. But sometimes you're just going to have to do that because experience is a much better teacher than the degree that you're getting in school.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And what's success to you guys?
Quality of life.
I was going to say peace, happiness, family.
Time, being able to have time. And that's the goal.
Yeah, wonderful. And who had the most influence on your careers in the industry?
I would have to say my dad. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And Brian, he's taught me a lot along the way. So I really admire him and look up to him. You were asking a little bit of why we're doing this. And somebody once told me without any risk, there's no reward, you know, where Brian's very go, go, go. And I'm more conservative. And that was probably the best advice that I was giving. Without any risk, there's no reward. Because what if it winds up being good? What if it winds up being something huge? You don't know unless you try. So always put yourself out there and try.
Last few questions that I ask everyone. In this season of your life, what gives you hope?
Our plan 5 years ago is starting to come to fruition, where we can focus on the small things and you can be like, oh my God, what's going on? Or you take a step outside of your world and look at the big picture. And you talk about plans 5 years ago and you see them kind of morphing into what you wanted. Maybe not perfect, but it's definitely on the road. Where Lauren and I and our family and where we're at, we're right on track to what we wanted. And that gives me inspiration. And we're closely watching our path. Like where doors close, we let them close. We don't force doors open, they're closing, and we follow the path that's being laid out for us. And as this industry is changing so much, we're fluid and flexible with it. And we're very optimistic for the next few years for us and where we're going.
I agree. I feel like we're on the right path, and we had something set 5 years ago, and we're right where we need to be, and hopes that everything's going to wind up the way it should be within like the next 2 or 3 years, where we want to be on our path and our growth.
Wonderful. And if you were granted 3 wishes, what would they be?
Go to Italy.
3 wishes? Yeah. Wish one would be to have as much time and flexibility to do whatever I wanted to do with my family and friends, but not have to worry about anything financial. So I didn't say money. I just said just time. I would like a lot of land. That's a big goal of mine. We're going to start buying up some land to have an estate for our family and stuff like that. And just health for my family. Make sure everybody's healthy and living their best life.
For me, it would be to travel with family and spend time with family, see the world. Health would be number two. And if we're really talking wishes, I'd like to bring back people who passed. That would be on my list, but those would be my 3 wishes.
Beautiful. And what would you like to be most known for?
Having a good heart, just being a good person.
Oh, a good leader. Good leader.
And I know you guys are very humble and you won't speak about this, but I know you do so much for our local communities and you really help our veterans communities. So I just wanted to say thank you for doing that. You have such big hearts and you do so much. So we are really grateful. And of course, Brian, thank you so much for your service and everything that you have done for this country and continue to do. I am a most non-American American. I always tell people I love this country and it's so beautiful just to have so many amazing people in it that are trying to make a difference or are making a difference each day. Gives me so much hope. So I'm very grateful. So where can the listeners find you guys and where can they try your amazing food?
First off, you can go to papamigos.com. That'll give us all the locations, upcoming events. Instagram is at Papamigos Pompano and at Papamigos Coconut Creek. And now we have at Papamigos Del Rey. So those are our 3 up and coming locations. Coconut Creek is there. It's 6370 North State Road 7 in Coconut Creek, Florida. And we encourage everybody to at least stop by or follow us on Instagram and see our amazing food and everything that Lauren does up there is really awesome. So
wonderful. I can't wait to stop by and try everything. Thank you so much again for being here. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your journey. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for allowing us to share our life and our vision with everything. So we appreciate everything you do.
Awesome. Okay, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for taking this ride and spending part of your day with me. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if it inspired or impacted you in any way, and if you got anything helpful out of it, don't forget to subscribe. It would mean so much to me if you left a quick review and shared this podcast with others on your social media platforms. And of course, don't forget to tag us. Stay true to yourselves, friends. Until next time. Adios. Arrivederci.